You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Morning, Parkside. Hey, I hope you're having a good morning. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside. Really excited to have you here this morning. And whether you're here watching in person or you're watching online later in the week, I just want to get something out of the way really quickly so that you're not distracted. So maybe that you actually hear something I say. I am not wearing eyeshadow today, and I did not get into a fight, right? Although you should see the other guy. Long story short, I went to the eye doctor on Friday, and she did me the favor of giving me a black eye, and I'm really thankful for it. So as you see that, don't worry, I'm okay. It wasn't anything major, anything like that, but I didn't want you to spend half the message going, is he? I don't know. Maybe? No. So, all right? So we're starting a new series this morning. We just finished up Into the Wild, and now we're into Memorize This. And if you're new at Parkside, Memorize This is a series we do every August. And the whole premise behind it is that we want to memorize Scripture, that it's important for us to memorize Scripture, study Scripture, so that we're ready when life happens. And it's one of my favorite series that we do because you don't know when life is going to happen. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity to speak about Jesus or that you're going to need to rely on the words of Jesus. When our second son was born, Malachi, he was what we call a precipitous labor. Okay, now if you know Malachi, you know that when he enters any room, you know it, right? He comes in quickly and he announces himself, and that's pretty much the way he was born. So our first son, Zeke, when he was born, you know, it was past the due date. We were like eagerly waiting, like, come on, we're so ready for this baby. And when labor started, we had time to go to the hospital and check in, and we, you know, waited around, we watched a movie, and then he showed up the next morning. Not the case with Malachi. Malachi, all of a sudden, it was one night that we wake up in the middle of the night, we're like, holy cow, we think we're having a baby. And so it's the middle of the night, it's early in the morning, and we get to the hospital, and you can just tell that things are happening faster. I don't know, you know, you might not be aware of medical terms, but precipitous labor, you know, precipitation, like things falling to the ground, that's pretty much what it means, okay? So we get there, and we hadn't brought our suitcases in to the delivery room, and Alicia's like, oh, Matt, just wait until after they give me my epidural. And I'm like, I don't think we have time for an epidural. Like, I'm going to go get the bags. I'm going to get them now. But we come back, and as I came back, it was time pretty much to start pushing. Like, it was getting real. But the problem was, right, I'm not the toughest of people. I didn't have anything in my stomach, and I was dizzy. So I knew that we were about to go into this labor and delivery, and I was already shaky in the knees. So I tell them, I've heard all the stories. I go, you know, hey, I really don't want to pass out. I've heard all the stories. I don't want to add to the trauma of this situation for my wife. I want to be there to support her. So they brought me in a flight of orange juices, okay? And so what happened, I feel so sorry for my wife in this moment. She would have a contraction, and I would stand up, and I would coach her on, come on, Lish, you're doing great. And then the contraction would be over, and I would sit down, open an orange juice, and chase it. Woo! You know, next contraction, all right, I'm back, I'm ready. Life came at us fast, and next thing we knew, we were holding Malachi John Robinson. And I was so glad that wasn't my first rodeo. I was so glad that I had the experiences of Zeke's delivery under my belt, that I'd had the labor and delivery classes, because everything happened so quick, there wasn't really time for me to think, there was just time for me to react. Memorizing Scripture is like that. Memorizing Scripture is you put it into your memory banks, you put it into your heart, so that when things happen, you're ready. That it's not a moment where you're like, oh, I need to get my phone out. I need to Google a Bible verse on this. That it's already there for you to reference. The psalmist writes in 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Later on in that same psalm, it echoes that thought by saying, the word of the Lord is a light that illuminates the path before us. Today we're going to be memorizing a verse out of the book of Joshua, and at the beginning of Joshua 1:8 it says, keep this book of law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. If you want to be ready for whatever life's going to bring your way, if you want to be ready when you have an opportunity to speak of Jesus, you need to memorize the Word of God. This isn't homework. This isn't mindless memorization work. This needs to be passionate and spirited as we tattoo God's Word on our heart and place His truth like banners across our mind. In the New Testament, believers were told not to worry about what they were going to say when they were called in front of public officials and asked to testify about who God was. I think one of the reasons that they didn't have to worry about that was because they had memorized Scripture. The Holy Spirit was working through them and giving them the words to say, but it's a huge help, it's a huge blessing when you've memorized God's Word and you can recall it and bring that forth, even when you're not even consciously thinking about it, when life happens so quick that it just pours out. Here's the verse that we're memorizing this week, and I know that I just said we're starting a new series, we're starting to memorize this, but it's going to feel, if you've been here the past few months, like Into the Wild continued, because we're at the end of the book of Joshua, and if it is your first time here, I'd encourage you, if you go, man, this morning was really good, go back online, go onto YouTube or Facebook, and watch some of the previous messages. We had a great time going through that series. Here's the verse, though. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a long memory verse, right? Most memory verses are like the touchy-feely verses that you can put on a mug. I'm not sure this verse fits on two mugs. Start off, you know, with two cups of coffee, part one of the verse, part two of the verse. You're probably saying, Matt, why in the world are you wanting us to memorize a verse that talks about the Euphrates River and the Amorites? You probably couldn't even find those on a map or know who those people are. We're going to talk about the Euphrates River and the land beyond it and the Amorites a little bit later. But here's the portion of this passage that I want you to memorize. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want to share a picture with you that is from my childhood, one of my family heirlooms. This hangs up in my parents' house. This picture, even though I don't know any German, except for like the curse words that the German exchange student taught me in high school, you don't forget things like that, right? Even though I don't speak any German, I know that this picture says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it was imprinted in my memory. I could tell you where this picture hung in every single house I lived in growing up. And my dad could tell you exactly where it hung in his grandparents' house when he was growing up. We don't even know exactly the story of how our family came to own this picture frame, but we know that it predates both world wars and that there's a real good chance that it's over 150 years old. As long as we can remember, this picture frame has been in one of the houses of our family before we were even the Robinsons. This picture, growing up, felt almost mystical to me in our house. You've seen the movies where a person uncovers an artifact and they discover these words that if you recite these words, they come to life and they lead you to a treasure or they unlock something. Or maybe you've got a family that has a royal history and they've got like a coat of arms, they've got a shield with different emblems on it that mean different things. That's what this felt like to me. This verse, Joshua 24:15b, was like the spiritual pep talk of my childhood. I can remember going on walks with my dad in the morning before I would go to school, or during the summer, we would go out before the sun even came up and we would go on prayer walks, and my dad would pray and I would just follow him. And I remember him turning to me at different points and said, Matt, when life gets tough, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? When nothing goes right, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When push comes to shove, Matt, we will serve the Lord. I remember moments where I was struggling, and my dad said, okay, let's just go back to the basics. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So much happens outside of this house that we can't control, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want to be a church that has this commitment, the commitment of this verse, tattooed onto our hearts. We say the word, as for me and my house, and you go, okay, Matt, I live in an apartment, right? Okay, hey, Matt, I'm single. We live in a condo. This isn't talking about an edifice. This is talking about a people. This is talking about you and your realm, the people you have influence on, the people that are your ride or die people. We want to be a church that, as for me and our house, as for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. There's so many things we don't know about in life, but we will serve the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we had one of our mission partners here, and on our online stream, we actually had to stop the stream for a while because she is in a place that is such a difficult place to share Jesus with other people that we couldn't share it. And so we talked with her, we got updates with her about the work that she's doing, but we shared in the midst of that we were able to support her ministry with some water tanks. That region's going through incredible, horrible droughts, historic droughts. And so these water tanks are going to allow the churches that are further and further from civilization, from set up and established churches, to be able to provide water for their community. That's a powerful thing. But one of the other things that we talked about when she was here with us was we talked about how Parkside, because of your generosity, was able to make the commitment to a family, that we were able to support one of the pastors in their community for an entire year. And I've got this picture I want to show you of the family, and we've blurred out their faces, but Parkside, you have made it possible for him to pastor his church for the next year. And he was already committed to it. He already had the, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the neat thing is that since their visit, I've been able to get on WhatsApp and I've been able to send him messages and say, hey, your church family's praying for you. Parkside, we want to be a church that says, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And we want to be able to say, hey, we stand with you. Even though you're on the other side of the world, as for me and my house, as for you and your house, we will serve the Lord. We stand together in that commitment. And I'm excited about talking with him more and sharing more with you about his work, his family, his amazing, wonderful family. I really appreciate so much. Also, along the same lines, last week we started a supply drive for Ukraine, and I was out camping in the Smokies last week, but to come back and find out that all the supplies have been committed to, that all the cards have been taken, I'm so excited that those supplies are going to be able to be sent to Ukraine and help them. This morning as you came in and you came by the supply drive table, or as you came in, you might have noticed one of these stickers. And I hope, if you haven't picked one up yet already, I hope you pick one up. They're on the black tables as you go out. If you're online this morning, next time you come into Parkside, grab one of these. They're also on the supply drive table. Now this one is blank. But the ones that you pick up are going to have a number on it, somewhere between 1 and 500. So we support TCI, this Christian university that's been displaced. We've supported them for over 20 years. We've helped them get started, but they've been displaced because of the war in Russia. Instead of being in their hometown, instead of being in their college campus, they're on the complete opposite side of the country now. But TCI, Tversky Christian Institute, as well as other Christian universities in Ukraine, they did a study in the midst of the war, and they discovered that 500 pastors that they know of already have been displaced because of the Russian war, the Russian aggression, that they know that pastors have had to flee for their lives. They know that other pastors that have chosen to stay at the churches have been harassed because they're bringing supplies in for the Ukrainian people, that they're viewed as a threat by the Russian military, and so they're being driven out, they're being captured, they're being harassed and tortured. 500 pastors that at the start of this war in Ukraine were at a church are no longer at a church. And so what we're doing is we're praying with TCI. They've committed themselves. They want to raise up 500 new pastors. They're praying that God would raise up 500 new pastors. And where they are located right now, they deal with refugees trying to get out of the country to safety, and they deal with other people coming back into the country trying to put their lives back together. And so they've shifted completely. They're still trying to figure out a way to have fall classes as a ministry school, even though they don't have a physical campus, but they're providing free counseling to refugees as they come through, and they're looking at how they can minister to these refugees as they are without a home, without their basic necessities, as they try and find a safe place to be. But what I see, as I see people coming into the country and people going out of the country, is I see 500 pastors. I mean, there will be people that go through that community where TCI is currently located, and they'll be there for 3 days. There's others that will be there for 3 weeks or 3 months. But if they come in contact with TCI and learn about TCI's mission, their prayer, their university, as people are going, what am I going to do with my life? There are going to be people that hear the calling to serve the Lord, and they're going to decide, Joshua 24, 15b, they're going to say, as for me and my house, wherever my house may be, even if my house is destroyed, we will serve the Lord. On my coffee cup, I've got my sticker, and it's number 18. And so I'm praying for Pastor 18, wherever they are, whatever is going on, whatever he or she is doing, that God would make their calling clear, and that his protection would be over them and he would bless them. And that we would be able to join them in that call. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to talk a little bit more about the context of this passage. Joshua 24, going back to verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. At the start of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua pulls all the leaders of Israelite together in Shechem, which is in the promised land. Okay, so they're in the land that God has given them, and he goes, hey, we need to talk. And he starts telling them their story, a story that they would have known. He starts talking to them about their past, their heritage. He says, hey, long ago, your ancestors, your forefather Abraham, was across the Euphrates River, and he was worshiping and serving other gods, the gods of the land beyond the Euphrates. And God, the God we serve, appeared to him and said, come with me into the land of Canaan, the land I've prepared to you. I'm going to make you into a mighty nation. And Abraham followed him into the land that the Israelites were living in then. And he reminded the Israelites, Joshua did, that they went down to Egypt and slowly became slaves and how God rescued him. But then Joshua shifts to the present and he talks about the people that are currently surrounding them, the Amorites. He even mentions Balaam. I don't know if you remember a message we talked about just a few weeks ago, a crazy story about how a man was hired to go curse the Israelites, And he went and he tried, but he couldn't, no matter what he tried, curse them, and he had to bless them. That was a powerful, powerful story. He said, Joshua did, that God literally went before them and made it possible for them to take the promised land and to live in it. He said, God has done all this for you. Let me read verses 14 and 15 for you again. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. So he talks about all this background. He goes, hey, this is what's happened. And so because of all this, serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is saying, hey, after all of this, where are you going to put your trust? After all God's done for you, where are you going to place your trust? Whose side are you on? Have you ever walked into an argument and had somebody ask you that question? Whose side are you on? You like go into a room or you're passing through somewhere at work and somebody goes, hey, I'm really glad you're here. You can settle this for us. And you're like, I need to leave. I don't want to be here right now. Right? You walk into the situation, you just know that something's not right, and you pause to make sure you're safe, and then you recognize that you are not safe. You're like in the middle, you're caught in the crosshairs of this argument, and you're desperately trying to figure out who's big mad and who's little mad, right? Okay, what's the safest side I can take in this argument? Is there anywhere that I can hide? Do you know what I think your brain is actually doing in those moments when you get caught in that argument? I don't think your brain has the scales out. Like, let's see, what side should I be on? You know, who is the right person in this? Your brain is like in fight or flight mode. Like, how can I survive? Where's the safe place for me to hide? What's safe? Where is their safety? And I think that's why Joshua is bringing up Euphrates and the Amorites in Joshua 24:15. Euphrates, the land beyond the Euphrates River, is where the Israelites placed their trust, you know, 1,000 years ago. Hey, these are the gods that your forefathers served. Are you going to serve them now? This is where they used to place their trust. Is that where you're going to put your trust now? And then Joshua shifts to the present. He goes, or are you going to put your trust in the gods of the Amorites? You know, the people all around you, the gods that they're serving. Where are you going to put your allegiance? Where are you going to put your trust? We're like that too, aren't we? Right? We go, well, you know, hey, this has worked for my parents. It's what my parents' parents did. It's what I do. I don't even know why we do it, but it's just what we do. Or maybe you go, you know what? This is what everybody around me is doing, and I really don't know why I would ever want to do this, but it seems to be working for them, so it's going to be what I do too. Joshua's saying, oh, no, 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 no. You can't just go, I'm going to take a little bit of this. I'm going to take a little bit of this. Whose side are you on? Who are you going to serve? Hey, Israelites, where are you going to put your trust? Joshua had asked this question before, but it was in a completely different situation. If you flip all the way back pretty much to the beginning of Joshua, if you've got your Bibles with you, Joshua chapter 5, it's before the Battle of Jericho, which was not very much a battle and very much God showing up and showing his power to the Israelites. But it's before that battle, verses 13 through 15. Listen to Joshua ask this question. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? This answer gets real scary real fast. Neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down into the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua asked, whose side are you on? And the angel said, that's not how this works. Wow. Are you for me or against me? Not for you or against you, but I've got a message for you. And it's from the Lord of Angel Armies. God was asking Joshua whose side he was on. Joshua is getting ready to go into battle. He's getting ready, and he sees it as the Israelites against Jericho. But then God's messenger shows up and says, how about you align yourselves with the army of the Lord? Maybe, just maybe, the strategy that you've had for most of your life, maybe the things that you think you've thought work for you, maybe that's not how things really are. Maybe there's a power in play that you didn't recognize, and it's the only place for you to be truly safe. This passage, Joshua chapter 5, was a defining moment in Joshua's life. It might be time for you to do the same thing that Joshua did. Realize that we don't ask God to align with us, but we have the opportunity to find salvation in aligning ourselves to Him. So many of us spend our whole lives trying to save our own souls, trying to save ourselves. It's the wrong question. We need to ask ourselves the question, who's going to save my soul? Maybe what you're giving your time to, your allegiance to, isn't going to save you. Your career, I don't care how good it is. In a decade, 2 decades, it's going to be over, and it's not going to save you. Your job title, it could change tomorrow. It's not going to save you. I don't know how much money you have in your bank account. It's not going to save you. There's not a monetary amount that can save you. The government isn't going to save your soul. The popular lunch table at school isn't going to save your soul. Getting into the right college isn't going to save your soul. Who's going to save your soul? Where are you going to place your trust, your faith, your allegiance, your service? What will you fight against? What will you choose to fight for? Serve the God who's going to save your soul. Serve the God who already died on a cross to pay the price and make it possible for your soul to be saved. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For Joshua, as he calls all these leaders together, it was a put up or shut up moment for the Israelites. He's called them all together and he goes, who are you going to serve? Who are going to be your gods? Who's going to be the person that you call when everything is going wrong? Where's your allegiance going to be? And they go, we're going to serve the Lord. And he goes, that's not good enough. You know, he's going, I can't hear you. He's saying, I don't want just words. I want commitment and I want action. Who are you going to serve? And they do. They say, we will serve the Lord. And he asks them again. And they say, we will serve the Lord. We're going to spend the last little portion of this message before we continue on into communion and into worship. And I want to give you a chance to make a commitment. There's a lot of you in here who have committed for a long time to serve and to follow Jesus, and I think that's wonderful. I'm not asking you to rededicate your lives. I'm asking you to acknowledge a commitment that you've made years ago, weeks ago, decades ago. There's others of you who are intrigued by Jesus, but you're kind of in that boat where you're going, hey, this is what's worked for me in the past. This is what everybody else is doing around me, but I'm kind of interested in this Jesus thing. I'm asking you to make a commitment today too. Who are you going to serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What are you going to do? What are you going to commit your realm of influence for? What are you going to stand for, fight for, sacrifice for? In a minute, I'm going to ask you if you are committed to serving God, if you've decided to put God over your household, over all the control that you've had in your life, if you want God to be at the head of that, I'm going to ask you to stand up in just a second and to say with me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you ready? Okay. I'm asking you, if you have lived a long life, that has been good, but you've still got fight in your bones, if you still have a desire to be used by God in some way that changes someone else's life, changes their eternity, if you're sitting here going, I don't even have a job anymore because I'm retired, but I'm committed to serving the Lord. If you are ready to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, I want you to stand up now. If you are a mom or a dad who says, you know what, I don't even know how to do this parenting thing. I've got kids in my home that are asking me questions I don't have the answers for, but I know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand up. If you're a young person that you go, you know what, I go to school and I don't know what I should say. I don't know half the answers, but you know, I want to serve the Lord with my life. Stand with me today and let us declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You ready? I want you to say it for me. Here we go. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's say it again, even louder. Here we go. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is not just a repeat after your pastor moment. This is a decision that you are making between you and your Creator God, the God who hung on a cross for you. Let's say this one more time. But this time I don't want us to say it loud. I want it to be between you and God. I want you to say it almost in a whisper. One last time, and then I'll pray. Here we go. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, as we come before you and dedicate ourselves to you, Lord, there are so many things before us, behind us, around us, even within us, that we just don't know what to do. Help us, Lord, when it's put up or shut up time, when push comes to shove, and we just don't know at all what we're going to do, when our life is falling to pieces, or when we're at work and we have that time to say, yeah, well, I do go to church, I'm a Christian. When we have that opportunity to say, hey, I'd like to pray for you, and we've never prayed out loud in public before. God, I just pray that you would help us to remember that commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At the very center of who we are, Lord, help us to humble ourselves and dedicate ourselves to you, to your service. Because at the end of the day, nothing else will save us. Only you can save us. Help us to align ourselves to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.